Invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 113. Psalm 113, and a passage here is something appropriate for the day, Mother's Day, and something that we just want to take a look and maybe kind of reminisce and challenge you to, as we go along here, to maybe think of these that we'll be looking at as we go along, see if you can know who's next as we go along. The psalmist here is praising the Lord. He's praising Him. The servants praise His name and blessing the Lord in that. We come down to verse number 9 in Psalm 113, and it says here, He maketh the barren woman to keep house, to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And so the psalmist, in all these things that he mentions, which are about nations and God who dwelleth on high and the humbling of who humbleth himself to behold things that are in heaven and in the earth, he raiseth the poor out of the dust. But he ends up this psalm about mothers. A barren woman is what's mentioned here, and we know that life and the conception of children is of the Lord. And when it's time, the Lord brings forth that life. And here he takes a situation, and the psalmist rejoices in this, that he can take a gal that maybe can't have children and cause her to have children and to have a reason to keep the home and to be a joyful mother. And the Lord, and the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. It's a good blessing of God upon us. What I want to do this morning is take a look at the promise of our mother and to us. The promise to our mother and to us. Okay? The promise to our mother and to us. In Genesis chapter 2, as we get started here, you know about how the Lord created us in Adam, and the woman was made from his rib. The animals were all reviewed and named before Adam. There wasn't one that was suitable to dwell with him and to be with him, as it was amongst the gender of the animals. And the Lord caused a deep sleep in Genesis 2, verse 21, to fall on Adam. And the Lord did surgery. He did that first surgery. He took one of his ribs and sewed him, healed him, sealed him back up. And from that rib, verse 22, he made a woman. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, oh, wow, she is great, wonderful. And no doubt he said, wow. And he said in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then this statement of the design of the Lord and the greatness of the Lord and his first institution of marriage and home. In verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so here the first marriage, the first couple, man and woman, the only two genders that there are, created by God, and here this of holy matrimony is established by the Lord. But there was sin that came about, wasn't there? Disobedience against God, a wrecking. The Lord said, don't eat of that tree, and the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And Adam did die that day. His wife, a woman, as she is named to this point, she died that day. You and I died that day. That was the extent and the far-reaching ramifications of disobedience of God, just in one command. Don't eat of that tree. I'm glad it just didn't stop there. But the Lord came and he intervened, didn't he? He came and he worked. And so he, as he's dealing with the serpent, as he's dealing with Satan in that, as he's dealing with the woman and as he's dealing with Adam, he says to the woman in verse number 15 of chapter 3 in Genesis, and I will put enmity, or speaking to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And in this work of God, Adam is cut out of it. He's dismissed from what's at hand, what the Lord is going to do. And a promise is made unto Satan and unto the woman and unto man. But in this regard, this statement, the Lord makes a promise, I will put enmity, hatred between thee and the woman. And then speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed, those that come from you, and her seed, those that come from her. This is a promise given by God. And the promise continues on, it shall bruise, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, serpent, Satan, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The heel of the seed of the woman would be bruised. There would be injury. There would be an effect in dealing with him. But it would be a death blow given by the seed of the woman unto Satan, unto the serpent. A great, great promise given unto the woman and to us. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And I believe that's because of sin. There was a necessity for that to be. There's other things that we can talk about in that. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, the design of the Lord. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. We go on there in chapter 3 and in verse number 20, the scripture says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. So here we see our mother, Eve. And she is all of our mother. Understand that from her, from Adam, we all came. There's a thinking, and I look to preach on it in time about this. There's a doctrine, a two-seed doctrine, and it's a misunderstanding and actually false things that are taken and purported, and don't buy into that two-seed doctrine, and we'll deal with that another day. You and I, we all descended from Adam and from Eve, every single one of us. There was not an insertion of other lines of people during the course of time. This is our mother and our father, and we all descend from them, and there's a great promise of this bruising of the head of the serpent, and the bruising of the heel of that which would come from her. You know what? Eve, she had anticipation regarding that promise of the Lord. And in chapter 4, verse number 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Maybe this is it. We wonder that about her. She has expectation. Would there be the fulfilling of the promise of the Lord in this son? As we go down on through time and we consider about mothers in the Scripture and about this promise given unto our mother and to us, how would it be that it would be fulfilled? We know it was not fulfilled in Cain. It was not fulfilled in any of Adam and Eve's children. But the Lord made a promise and he would bring it to pass. And so as we would consider mothers in the Scripture, who would be the next that we would consider? Well, we come down to Noah's wife. There was a time there that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and God looked down upon the earth in Genesis 6, and it says, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted the way, his way upon the earth, and God was disgusted by it. He says to our brother Noah, he says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and pitch it without. Because I'm going to deliver you, Noah. I'm going to deliver you and your wife and your sons and their wives. I'm going to deal with mankind in this wickedness, this corruption that's at hand. And it tells us that Noah was faithful. I'm going to try not to call him Moses. Isn't that something how you get Noah and Moses mixed up? At least I do. And Noah went in, it says in chapter 7, verse number 7, and his sons into that ark when the Lord had appointed. And it says there, and his wife. You know, that promise that God gave there in the garden, it hadn't been fulfilled yet. But God's not forgot about it. And in Noah's wife, that promise is being worked by the Lord. The promise unto our mother and to us God's not forgotten about it. Oh, things look terrible and things are bad. The Lord's bringing judgment upon the inhabitants of the earth. But he has not forgotten his promise. This woman here, this wife of Brother Noah, she is the one through whom this promise is being fulfilled. And once again, there's a connection to you and me. We all come through her. We all come through her. He went into the ark, his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Also in verse number 13 of Genesis 7, it tells about the time in the when Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with them went into the ark. And then it tells us when the Lord caused the ark to land in chapter 8, and they went forth, and Noah's wife is there with him. The Lord has not forgotten about that promise that he has made. It is in the works. Men may have forgotten about it. Others may have, many did not know about that promise, but the Lord is still working, and even through this woman, you and I have a connection. We are all the descendants of this woman. As we would think and go down through time, what other woman would there be that we would consider next? Well, Sister Sarah, Abraham's wife. They wanted children. She wanted to be, she was Abraham's wife, and wanted to be a mother, but she just, the Lord had closed up her womb. She was unable to have any children until it came time. The Lord had not forgot his promise, had he? He had not forgot his promise, and granted, directly, you and I, we're not Jews. We don't have a connection with Sarah directly as we do with Noah's wife and with Eve. Not in the physical line, but we do in the promise, the identifying of our Lord with mankind. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed at 90 years old. God had not forgot about the promise, had he? He's still working on it. All generations had come and had gone, but the promise of the Lord stood firm and fast, and he was working. And I like this. I've never seen this worded the way that it is. Listen to this. And this is so in everything. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. She believed the Lord. She wasn't able to change anything about her body to be able to conceive a child. But the Lord spoke, and she believed it. Is the testimony here. Oh, she had some trouble. She had some distraction. She had some thoughts that maybe it couldn't be so. Abram dealt with that to some extent. But when the Lord affirmed it and declared it, that it was going to be, they received that. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him, the Lord, faithful who had promised. He made a promise, not only to them, Abraham and Sarah, but also all the way back to our mother Eve. And this is what is said in verse number 12 of Hebrews 11. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, speaking of Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Not only speaking about the nation proper and the children of Abraham, but I think in a moment we'll touch a passage that even speaks about you and me, the children of faith. But there's a note about Sister Sarah in 1 Peter chapter 3 that she was a godly woman, a holy woman. She's an example unto you, sisters, that are with us, an example to us all to take the place Brother Doug has mentioned about that in his Sunday school lesson this morning about the roles, the positions that the Lord has made. The husband is in the home to be the leader. It doesn't mean that the wife is less, but the roles are different. The assignment from God is different. And we all do well to fill that and to obey the Lord in it. And the testimony of 1 Peter chapter 3 is that Sarah did that. And she's a fine example to women in our churches today, to the young and to the middle-aged, to the old. It says in 1 Peter 3 about her, "For in this manner of the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. They were interested in the inner man, not so much as the outer man. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." And then regarding this about us and not having a direct lineage connection to Sarah and Abraham. But the scripture says this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And so, Sarah is not our mother. But because of the promise of God and the Lord's promise and blessing upon Abraham and Sarah, from the standpoint of the coming on and the bringing on ultimately of the Savior, she has a great place even unto us in the Lord's fulfilling of His promises. This promise: "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith," Galatians 3:7, are the same the children of Abraham. "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed, and indeed we are. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." We've been blessed with faithful Sarah too, haven't we? And then as we consider on, who would be that next mother, that next wife that we would consider in that lineage? Who is it that you think of? I'm giving you a challenge in the scripture this morning. Who is it that you would think of? I was kind of surprised as I went along and thinking of it this way and putting it together. But we have Leah. Leah. Brother Jacob's first wife. She was given, and it was Jacob's father-in-law tricked him. But nevertheless, she was given to Jacob to wife. Jacob was looking to marry Rachel, but Leah was the elder. And the custom there, according to the father-in-law, was that the younger could not be given in marriage before the older. And it declares in the scripture that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And he went ahead and served another 7 years that Rachel would be his wife. And the Lord saw in this hatred that the scripture talks about there, that the dislike, or that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. It says in Genesis chapter 29, verse 31, "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren." And you know, Leah, her desire was to be a good wife and a good mother. That was her desire. We see that, I believe, as we go on. She wanted to be with her husband. It declares this. She declares this in Genesis 30, verses 20 and 21. And at the having of other children. "And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me." That's her desire. To do what the Lord had ordained. That's all she wants. "Because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun at this one that was born. Leah was blessed to have birthed 6 of the patriarchs. Half of the tribes of the nation of Israel. I mean, that's That's striking, isn't it? I mean, that's a blessing. And in that, the Lord is keeping His promise. Because one of those sons is Judah. In Genesis 35, verse 23, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Also, Dinah was a seventh child that she bore unto Jacob. And the Lord blessed her greatly. Rachel died at childbirth, a delivering Benjamin, the last of the patriarchs. And she was buried in a place as they traveled along the way. But the scripture, I think, vindicates Leah and tells the Lord's thinking, and maybe even Jacob's thinking regarding this wife and this mother. Because Jacob testifies in chapter 49, verses 28 through 33. In verse 31 of that passage, Jacob is dealing with his sons, and he's telling them where he is to be buried. And he said, Abraham and Sarah are buried there. Isaac and Rebekah are buried there. And I buried Leah there too, and that's where I want you to bury me. The promise of the Lord is being carried out. Who would you think next? Who would be next in this line? This promise that God had given to our mother Eve and to Noah's wife. We don't even know her name. That's being carried out through Noah's wife and then through these. Who would be next? Well, I'd forgotten about it, but Tamar would be next. Tamar, we really don't think about her. We don't focus upon her in our hearts and our minds. But Tamar was that daughter-in-law of Judah who the Lord, because of his wickedness, killed her husband and Judah's son. Judah, as was given by the Lord, gave her to his next son, and he was wicked in the things that he did, and the Lord killed him too. And so Judah made a promise to her. You wait for one of my younger sons, a particular one, to get old enough to marry, and I'll give you to him. That was the custom. That was the design and given by the Lord in that day to raise up children to the household of Ur as firstborn. But he didn't do it. He didn't make good on his promise. And Tamar, we can debate, she resorted to a thing that was wicked. She feigned to be a harlot. And I find it interesting indeed that the Lord doesn't hide these wicked things, these sinful things. Because listen, we are a sinful people. And our Lord does not identify us. Our Lord Jesus does not identify us through our Father, but He identifies through us with these mothers, through mankind, it identifies with mankind through the women. And Tamar became with child, it tells us in Genesis 38, of her father-in-law Judah. They accuse her. She risks being accused of being a harlot and to be put to death. And of course, she had taken a token from Judah, and she says, well, he said, this is who the child belongs to, divine who these belong to, and you'll know who the father is. And Judah said she was more righteous than he was. Twins are conceived within her of Judah. And the son that comes forth that is in the lineage of Christ is Phares. The Lord's fulfilling His promise in spite of the wickedness and the sinfulness of mankind. It says in verse number 29 of chapter 38 in Genesis, it came to pass, he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And so he had, the oldest had stuck out his hand, and the midwife put a scarlet thread around it, and he pulls his hand back in. The second born comes out, and his name is Phares, in the lineage of Christ Jesus. The Lord working out his promise in spite of the sin and the wickedness, the failing of men's promises. Our Lord is faithful always. And then, who else would you think about? Who would be next in the line? Well, this woman named Rahab in Jericho. The testimony in the Joshua chapter 2 is that she was a harlot. But you know what she declared? She declared to the spies in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. We've heard how the Lord has blessed you and how you've defeated the different kings, Sihon and Og, of the land. And so, as a people here in Jericho, our hearts have melted and there's no courage. And she believed what God had given to Israel to do. And she says to you spies, to the spies, she says, I'll hide you, but I want you to be kind to me and my family. And when you come and you take this city, you spare us. I'm going to be kind to you and not turn you over to the authorities. And you please be kind to me and my family. And you know what? They did. And by that scarlet cord hanging out the window, they knew that that was her house. And the Hebrews and the book of James testify about her faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And in James chapter 2, verse number 25, speaking about works because of our faith, not to be saved, but because we are saved, James tells us in James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. The thing is Rahab didn't stay in that land as she was before, but she was taken and willingly came into the nation of Israel. We'll see more about that in a moment. Who would it be that you would think about next in this promise of God? In spite of the wickedness of men and women, in spite of that, the Lord brings deliverance and salvation and a change in people, as he did Rahab. We have this lady, a sister we know of as Ruth. Her husband wanted to go into a far land, and in that land she lost her husband and her two sons. But you know why? When she was down to that point, Naomi is her name, and is the mother-in-law of Ruth, and she wanted to go back, and Ruth said, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, wherever you die, I'm going to go with you. And what a wonderful account we have in the Scripture about this woman, Ruth. Her mother-in-law goes back. She's dedicated and faithful to her. And we see in the book of Ruth that great account of the kinsman redeemer. The man to step in and do what was supposed to be done by Judah and there regarding Tamar and that. But this man willingly stepped in there and he took Ruth to wife. We read in Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son, and the woman said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better than to thee than seven sons, and hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Listen, he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And these are the generations of Phares, which came from Judah and Tamar. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naashon, and Naashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. The Lord's not forgot about his promise, has he? The Lord's not been distracted by the sinfulness of some and in this line. And indeed, our Lord identifies us with three different Gentiles. that are in this line. Tamar, we believe and understand to be a Canaanite herself, and then this of a Moabite and Ruth, and of an inhabitant of the land there in Jericho, Rahab. The Lord's not forgot about his promise and used these women of the seed of the woman. I will take and I'll bruise the head of the serpent. And then who's next? Who would you think next is in the line? Well, we don't like to think about it, but it is so. We have Bathsheba. David, he's not doing well as king. He's got distraction that's going on. He's looking at other things. And I trust each one of us know the account regarding that. Bathsheba is a woman that's married to another man. But David desires and lusts after her and takes her to himself. David is in a sorry state. He's backslidden indeed. It takes Nathan the prophet coming to him to tell him the truth. Thou art the man. You're the one that's taken a man's sheep. That's the allegory, the story that he gives them to explain. You're the one. He had one sheep that he loved, was dear to him, like a daughter. David has all this righteous indignation about the man. He said he's going to pay back so many fold, and he's going to die too. He's going to die, and then he's going to pay back, is the order that David declares it there. The child that Bathsheba and David have, that child dies. The Lord chastises David in that way. But Bathsheba is David's wife then, Uriah dead and the baby dead. And from Bathsheba, the scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles 3:5, and these were born to him in Jerusalem, Shimea, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Even in spite of David's wickedness and Bathsheba's consent in it, and it was a difficult situation for her, she should have resisted. The Lord has not forgot his promise. And he brings out the two that are indicated in the scriptures in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. That lineage of Joseph, that lineage of Mary, Nathan and Solomon. And as we would go on down, considering these mothers and the promise to our mother and to us, who is it that you would think next? Well, we have Mary. The New Testament tells us about this virgin named Mary. She's espoused to a man by the name of Joseph. They have been married. The marriage is just not consummated. And Gabriel, the angel, visits her. He comes to Nazareth to visit her. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 26 or verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He hails her. He says, you're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And as an aside, that's never given to be a prayer. It's just the declaration of the angel of God. God has not forgot his promise given so many millennia ago. And the time has come. That's the way it is with the Lord and all of his promises. The time comes that he fulfills what he's prophesied and said he will do. She was troubled. She wondered how she would be. The salutation would be that way. And in verse number 30 of Luke 1, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. It's such a blessing, and it's the working of the Lord through all these different women. The Lord Jesus identifies with us. Some of them, all of them being sinners, they have their faults. But some having their desire right and their following right in the design of God, others not. But in all that, the Lord never forgets his promise. And he takes and he uses them to bring this to pass. And he identifies, our Lord Jesus identifies with us through these women. What I mean with mankind. He's got a different father than the father that we have. Adam. His father is not Adam. His father is God. And that's the reason that it needed to be this way. And the Lord has brought to this time, and what does he do? He chooses a woman that is virtuous. She's not perfect. She is a sinner. But she's not wrapped up in the sin that some of these others were. And she says, you found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. God has not forgot his promise. And with and through the seed of the woman, he will crush the head of the serpent. He'll be great, it says in Luke 1:32. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary says, well, how can this be? I've not known a man. And the angel declares in verse 35 that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God is bringing his promise to pass. The prophecy had been declared and we're told in Matthew chapter 1 that is being fulfilled in verses 21 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. The Lord is working, and he tells Mary, the angel tells Mary there in Luke about Elizabeth and what's going on with her. She was barren too. And of course, John the Baptist is going to be of her son born of her. And the statement is made there in verse number 37 to Mary by the angel, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That promise that was so, it was there, but it was so distant, so impossible, could not be fulfilled by any descendant of Adam. No man. God is bringing it to pass through the seed of the woman. And in verse number 38, we have this great blessing. Mary, a woman of faith, she said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary believed and did not doubt the word of the Lord. She goes to visit her cousin. And there's great rejoicing there. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she praises the Lord. And again, verse 42 there in Luke 1, not a prayer, but a declaration that is given there. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Elizabeth declares. John in her womb leaps. And Elizabeth declares in verse number 45 about Mary, and blessed is she that believed. You know, a mother, a woman that believes what the Lord says, not taking it, twisting it, making it something else that they want it to be, but believing the Lord and what he says, receiving it. Mary magnifies the Lord there in verses 46 and 47. She marvels at how the Lord has regarded her low estate and how she will be called blessed by generations to come. And she declares in verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. The Lord is going to bring to pass in this child all the things that he's prophesied and bring salvation to his people. Mary remembered the promise of the Lord. And through her, our Lord brought his promise all the way back at the garden, all the way back there to the first woman, our mother, and to us, he brought it to pass. Psalm 113:9. Praise the Lord. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The promise of to our mother and to us that the Lord would put enmity between the serpent and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in time the Lord brought that to pass through Eve, Noah's wife, Shem's wife, Sarah, Leah, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Blessed is she that believed. Oh, blessed is he and she that believe. For God, nothing shall be impossible. It's a wonderful thing how the Lord used women and mothers, isn't it? His great purpose, his great design. Oh, what a Lord. Oh, what power. Oh, what a Savior he's given it to us. If you're here and you're not saved, he's the Savior that you need. Don't push away. Don't discount. Don't make little and less about the great thing that God has done to bring the Savior to us. And the instrumentality in the way that he did so is through mothers and a promise given unto mothers and a promise given unto us. Praise be to his name.